You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you so much for being here and being a part of our family and being a part of all the shows. Thank you so much for tuning in and spreading the word. And make sure you're subscribed so you get all the episodes as they are released, as we do 3 episodes per week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So we have a great show lined up for you tonight. I am joined by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Don Longbeard.
And I'm still here.
You are. Absolutely. We are always here and ready to entertain all of you out there. But before I go any further, if you have an account or encounter that you would like to share, please feel free to email it to us for use on the show at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. We love to get listener submissions. We've been getting a ton of them lately from you guys out there in the podcast verse. And thank you so much for all of you who have been submitting stories. Thank you for bringing all your stories to us so we can share them with the rest of our listening audience. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we've got an epic show lined up for you guys. Tonight, we're going to talk about human-alien hybrids and some claims that people have made of encountering or seeing proof of such things. And, you know, it's hard to know why for sure. It is alleged that these alien beings could be, in fact, making some kind of hybrid species using what I assume would be human DNA with their own. We've discussed it several times on the show that there are several plausible reasons why they may need to do that. Maybe they need the genetic diversity. Maybe they're making some kind of infiltration race. There's all kinds of crazy ideas. What do you think of that whole deal, Don?
You know, it's always been one of our big questions is why do they abduct so many humans and what are they doing? You know, and that of course is concurrent with the idea of like animal mutilations and things like that. Why are they doing it? It seems connected, obviously. But the question is why are they looking to make a new species to, as you said, you know, maybe take over and inhabit the earth? Are they not able to in their original form? And that's why they're a human forming, changing the DNA to more accommodate them as they, you know, move in.
Right. Yeah, that's a great points. And I guess we're never going to get any closer to answers with the knowledge that we have now, but it does seem apparent that many people that have been abducted have talked about running into variations of these hybrids. Even Travis Walton allegedly bumped into an alien that looked absolutely like a human. He in fact, wasn't sure whether it was at all alien or if it was all human or what the deal was. But crazy encounter for sure, nonetheless. Now, we're going to go into some stories here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and you know, we're not perpetuating any of this. The scope of the show is to just say, look, these are some of the claims that are out there. The Paranormal Portal is always just about discussing ideas, discussing phenomena. And, you know, we don't advocate or detract from any of them because, you know, in my own experience, all I can say is that it seems that the sky's the limit for possibilities in the paranormal. So I don't really discount too much. What do you think, Don?
Sky's the limit. I think that was awesome. You know, there doesn't seem to be a real easily definable reason. Gosh, I can't put that thought together, but yeah, it just comes back to why.
It is just the big why, the big capital letter Y on top of all of this. But well, let's get into some of these stories and see what we find out. So the first one I got tonight is apparently happened in 2015. And it's what happened was there's a supposed alien hybrid government agent who had been found decomposing in a car, appeared on several online media outlets. The man who was eventually identified as Jeffrey Allen Lash was found with over 1,000 guns, man, as well as other weapons such as knives, machetes, and a bow and arrow, and also had 7 tons of ammunition and cash amounting to $230,000. In addition to the car he was discovered in, which was designed to be able to drive underwater, no less, he also owned 14 other vehicles. His fiancée, Catherine Nebron, made an off-the-wall announcement of his otherworldly origin through her attorney shortly after his death. She stated that Lash had confided in her several weeks before he died that he was working undercover for several unnamed government agencies, and he had left Catherine with instructions to leave his body in the car when he died and that government agencies would come to retrieve it. Initial background checks on Lash didn't uncover any sign of criminal activity on his part, and investigators didn't suspect that he had been the victim of foul play. According to Nebron, he had begun to experience difficulty breathing, but he'd refused to let her call for medical assistance in the hours before his death. Wow.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't really understand what the guy looked like, other than his claim that he was something otherworldly, I guess. But he was driving a car that was designed to run underwater.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is crazy. I don't even know how you'd accomplish that.
Crazy as in weird. Let me define that. Crazy as in
weird. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, that term comes up often, and we don't mean to disparage anybody, of course, but it's just the idea that these are really bizarre kind of accounts, and it's hard to make sense of what, and was there something about his physiology that made him unique and therefore could have made him a hybrid of some sort, or was it just his verbal claim? Hey, I'm from somewhere else and work for government agencies, got a lot of guns and cash. And
yeah, I just looked his name up too, and it just came up with all these pictures of ATF going in and opening the garage and removing gun after gun, rifle after rifle, box of ammo, case of ammo after case of ammo, and a pile of cash. Yeah, wow.
Very strange.
That's all I can say. Yeah.
That is one of those that there's not much else to say. That's just one of them.
Yeah, so it says the dead man claimed he was an alien hybrid. He said he was a super spy fighting to save the world. He confided in a few. He told them that he worked for a black op agency, one that dealt with aliens. So, wow.
Yeah, that's a 10 on the wow meter. Yeah. Very strange. Again, you know, we don't make any claim regarding these stories, as, you know, they're just represented as allegedly true. And so right. We share them here on the show. Got another one, and this should be interesting. It wasn't until Cynthia Crawford was in her 30s that her father revealed to her that she was the result of top secret government program. She was, her father informed her, an alien human hybrid created in a petri dish, and that as well as carrying human DNA, she had the DNA of two different alien races as part of her genetic makeup. She claimed that she had encountered what she believed to be alien abductions many times throughout her life, which included medical procedures and impregnation, but that she now realized these experiences were more likely part of the program. She was told by her father that as a child, she was taken in the middle of the night to an underground military facility. There, she was regularly tested and examined by government agents there. Despite many doubters to her story, no DNA testing has been volunteered by Crawford to confirm any of her claims.
Wow.
She is a regular speaker at numerous UFO and alien seminars across the United States. Well, I mean, geez, if you could just get a hold of her hairbrush, you could get, a DNA sample or something, right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not advocating, tromping all over her civil liberties or anything. But I mean, if you're going to make an extraordinary claim like that, why not provide the DNA evidence as well?
Well, so it says that she passed away in 2017 with three massive brain tumors. So, there have been stories that say that abductees report many different failures or, physical failures or tumors or things like that. So interesting. It says she tried to seek help and understanding for her experiences, but there were not a lot of support groups at the time.
Oh.
Life changed when she gave up fear and consciously faced these other world beings. So very interesting. That's another one I'm going to have to write down for notes later to dive into that. So interesting.
Ouch. It is. You okay?
Yeah.
Did you just headbutt your microphone?
No, I certainly bumped it though.
Yeah, very strange. A very wild encounter. But I think that those claims could have been very easily substantiated if she had just, undergone the genetic testing.
Right. Let's see here. It says that she was born as a fraternal twin with a totally different blood type and tissue type than her twin. It says she was born without an amniotic sac. So she was born outside of the amniotic sac, or at least without one. Wow.
That's wild. Huh. I didn't know that was possible.
I didn't either. However, it wasn't until she was in her mid-30s that she learned from her father that she was a hybrid created in a petri dish. Yeah, you've already read that.
Huh.
Wow, this is one I'm going to have to really dive into and do some research on and maybe do something.
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of...
Well, there's a lot of information here. And obviously what we're covering, ladies and gentlemen, are very superficial accounts of these very incredible stories or at least incredible claims. We can't make any claim that they're actually factual or not, but they are claimed to be real. So again, I'm repeating myself, but I always want to throw that out there that, we can only bring you ideas. But there is a lot of research to be done on each and every one of these to get to the whole story.
Absolutely. And we invite you to do that if you would like, and certainly send in some of your findings or your opinions and thoughts on these matters. That would be wonderful too.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great idea. And we always welcome your guys' participation to the show in whatever form that takes, whether you've had an encounter or you've got an opinion or you have thoughts or ideas or more information that would supplement something we've covered on the show. That's all awesome. And we welcome your guys' participation for sure. I got another one.
Sure.
Want to hear it, Don?
Yeah, because this is getting deep already.
It is. It's pretty wild. This one is Miguel Mendonca, M-E-N-D-O-N-C-A. I think that's Mendonca or Mendonca. Is a leading expert on green energy and renewable power sources. He is also convinced that aliens are in the process of helping humans evolve into higher beings by manipulating their DNA into pregnant women around the world. Mendonca from Bristol, England, co-authored the book Meet the Hybrids, The Lives and Missions of ET Ambassadors on Earth, and respected and experienced UFO researcher Barbara Lamb in the book, he claims to have met several alien hybrids, all of whom state that they are involved in a mission that will improve the human race. Well, that should help.
Yeah. God knows we need some of that.
Mendonca claims that DNA testing would be of little use to help prove his claims, as only human DNA would be detected and anything else would be simply ignored. He also stated that the hybrids themselves are against their DNA being taken for fear that governments would use it to create super soldiers that would be utilized by the military. Mendonca stated that he went into the project with an open mind, but that he can feel the energy of the hybrids when he speaks with them and is convinced of their authenticity. He also states that he is very much an academic and has to be sure of his facts. He believes this is why there are so many UFO sightings and that the hybrid agenda is the reason they are coming to Earth. That's interesting. So in his mind, the visits are very altruistic.
That would be wonderful.
It would be. I agree.
You know, but if they're here to help us, you know, ascend, shall we say, why are they letting us create these killer weapons and these, you know, final solution ideas?
Right.
You know? And we've postulated this before, you know, about why would they let us get to the brink and then wait for us to actually push a button? Because we've had stories before on our show of someone making the claim that, you know, they're not going to let us push that button and destroy the entire Earth. But and also, you know, there's the claim that the Minuteman missile silos went offline, and at the same time those went offline, the Russian ballistics went offline, and it was used as a warning to not use them.
Right.
We've heard that many, many times. And, you know, it why would they let us get to that brink and then say, no, you're not going to use them? Why don't they just come down and say, well, and I digress. Valiant Thor, that's part of the story of Valiant Thor, is that they were here for altruistic reasons. And the U.S. government shut them down because they wanted weapon information, you know, better weapons. So they went with – supposedly they went with the Greys from Zeta Reticula instead of the peace-loving, altruistic, you know, people who claim to be from the interior of Venus, as shown in the Valiant Thor story, you know. So interesting, you know, but it makes sense that a government's going to do what's going to make the government money instead of what's best for that. That's the way I see it, at least. You know, they're going to do what it takes to protect what they think it takes to protect the United States, but not necessarily the world as a whole.
Right. No.
And that's my statement.
Well, and I agree pretty much with what you're saying. It's just my problem is to sit. Let's say they are here and they're just sitting back in an observer status and they're watching all this pain and suffering go on.
Right.
If they have the means to change it, why not change it? And sometimes people cite to the Star Trek theme of, you know, the what is it called?
The prime directive.
Prime directive. And I would say, you know, if you have the means, it's like, you know, sitting there with a rifle and you sit and watch some woman get brutalized by some man and, you know, claiming some high ground of a prime directive, you know, when you could have saved a lot of pain and suffering. And to me, that doesn't wash. I don't like that explanation. I don't think it's valid, because if you can sit back and watch people just be brutalized, then
yeah,
there's something
part problem.
Exactly. If you sit there and watch it happen and you don't intervene and change the course of those events, then you are a part of the problem. This prime directive BS, in my opinion, is a load of crap. It's like, if you have the ability to intervene, then by what I would assume would be cosmic law, you should feel the obligation to. Because it's about preserving life and goodness and preventing pain and suffering.
Right.
So there's my biggest rub with all of this idea that if they are here, and I've seen one, I know they're here. I just don't know how they can sit back and do nothing. That to me is just the biggest, it's the biggest insult of it all. I can't watch anybody suffer without trying to step in and do something, you know, regardless of what I'm able to do. I feel morally compelled to step in and try to render some kind of assistance, even if it's just an ear. But I got more. Are you ready for more?
Absolutely.
All right. So this one is this one sounds pretty interesting. It says, according to Hillary Porter, who says she has been abducted many times herself by aliens, extraterrestrials are specifically targeting people of Celtic descent in order to install an alien hybrid program. Porter is an experienced ufologist who is a regular speaker at UFO seminars, and she even believes that one stretch of road in particular between Swansea and Cardiff in Wales is a hotspot for UFO activity. Not only this, she says that the government is fully aware of what is happening, but they are absolutely powerless to stop it. Porter believes that aliens are targeting people of Celtic descent as they feel their genes are better suited for creating a human/alien hybrid race, which she says is their ultimate goal. Porter has conducted extensive research for over four decades, which has led for her to ultimately conclude that the alien hybrid agenda is very real. She also states that this agenda is not for the good of mankind, as many who make similar claims say it is. She says that although she and others have recalled pleasant memories from their experiences, this is nothing more than a cover or false memory implanted by the aliens themselves in order to hide the horrific events. Wow.
Wow. You know, that doesn't surprise me about the implanted memories. Because if we go back to the Griotta treaties in, you know, the Eisenhower years, part of the agreement, as I understand it, was that no human, no United States citizen, because we're talking specifically about the United States, was to remember, you know, whatever may have happened to them.
Mm.
That includes, you know, taking of DNA, dare I say probing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of the agreement, as I understand it, in the Griotta Treaty with the Zeta Reticulans. So,
wow,
that doesn't surprise me at all.
That's a cool thing. And I think, what was it, the movie The Fourth Kind, Nome, Alaska, where they were talking about, where people kept having these visions of owls.
Yes.
That seemed to really coincide with them being abducted.
Right.
So that was a false memory or something, or at least a symbolic memory.
Maybe it was to replace the actual aliens,
right,
to get them, the initiation of the abduction.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it was a more calm thought, you know, oh, an owl came to visit me. And I remember not dreaming that night.
Right. Or,
you know, I found that I, you know, had a better sleep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was part of the mask, the implanted memory.
Right.
So that, I wonder if that's an, you know, what they were using owls, because owls, when they fly, don't make any noise.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's kind of a piece to it. You know, owls are silent unless they're hooting or, you know, they're just launching off a branch. That's really the only time they make noise.
Yeah. Well, that's probably true. I mean, I'm not really familiar with the mechanics of owl flight, but I guess being a night predator, the last thing they want to do is make sound.
That's correct.
So, I think this is probably a good place for a break, though. What do you think, Don?
Oh, yes. Already. Yeah. Sounds like a good spot.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go away. And we'll be back with more of this wild accounts of human alien hybrids here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we are back here on the Paranormal Portal podcast tonight. Don and I are discussing alien human hybrids and a wide variety of claims regarding the phenomena, but pretty interesting stories nonetheless, wouldn't you agree, Don?
Absolutely. You know, some of these are stories that I've not heard about, but it connects a few dots, as I pointed out, about the Griotta Treaty, some ideas that you brought up about the movie The Fourth Kind and owls. It's been interesting so far.
Right. Yeah, very cool. And it is interesting. I do find the variety of narratives behind it to be intriguing. And you got to wonder which one's right. Or could each of these different viewpoints be the result of different alien species conducting a hybrid program? So like they're supposed to be benevolent ones, they're supposed to be less benevolent ones. So maybe these different ideas are based around which ones got you and, what did you encounter? So,
wow. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I just read this piece about Hillary Porter that you just mentioned. It says after she suffers migraines and feels very – okay, so sometimes she wakes up with fresh scars or bruises, or there are bloody marks or stains on her clothes or bed sheets. So
– wow.
And it says she had a metal implant in her ear as well.
Jeez. Wow. Well, I mean, I don't doubt that a few of these are real. I don't know if they all are. I don't know. It's just, it's quite a variety of stories we're covering here tonight, but I suppose even if one of them is only true, then that's still incredible.
Yes, definitely that.
All right. So now we got a different kind of one here. So let's see what this one is. Author and ufologist Juju Olui Kuita claims to have had an extraterrestrial experiences since she was 5 years old. And has said that since awakened to her ET identity in 2010, she published a book, We Are Among You Already, which told of how aliens were incarnating and creating alien human hybrids right here on Earth. She also founded the East Bay UFO Contact Group the same year. Kuita states that she is a star being who chose to incarnate on Earth as a human being. Some are said to choose to do so as animals. According to Kuita, Mother Earth sent out a signal for help into the cosmos many decades ago. She further claims that she originates from the planet Faqui, F-A-Q-U-I, I guess, which she says is the Andromeda Galaxy, and her people are called the Fajans. F-A-J-A-N-S. Kuita believes her mission is to assist in awakening other star beings and ultimately raise the vibration of planet Earth, which she says is being monitored by countless beings throughout the cosmos. Well, that's a different take on it completely, right?
Well, we've talked to people that have made the claim that they have been in contact with extraterrestrials. And I find that some of it may be credible. I'm still standing on part of the disbelief issue. Mm-hmm. I'm going to disbelieve until I can really see some proof, but some of it sounds likely. So, in that case, this kind of goes to the answer of why are they sitting back waiting? Mm-hmm. Maybe some of them are. Maybe some of them are creating or sending people like this person here to Earth, and they are trying to open our eyes, our imaginations, our realizations to, you know, the benevolent side of what can happen.
Right.
Who knows?
It's hard to say, but interesting nonetheless. Now, here's an interesting correlation, and I've never heard of this inferred before, I should say, and it has to do with indigo children.
Okay.
So there are some claims of indigo children or star children, extremely intelligent and highly sensitive children all over the world. While these are most likely just normal children who happen to have extremely high intelligence for their young ages, some claim that they are the result of genetic engineering. Two cases in particular appear to stand out. Jason Andrews' first alien experience occurred on his fourth birthday in Kent, England in 1987. As a violent storm proceeded to sweep over the area, Jason apparently began to mutter a series of numbers, seemingly in a trance-like state. Mm. As the storm took hold, the house the Andrews family lived in began to shake until Jason turned to his parents and calmly stated to them, "They are waiting for me. I have to go." The four-year-old boy then went to the exit the property before his father wrestled him away from the door, and as suddenly as it had begun, the shaking of the house and the storm ceased, and Jason returned to his normal self. The family appeared to forget about the incident until 8 years later, when Jason informed them that since that day, he had been abducted by strange beings that would come into his room and take him to some kind of operating table. His mother, Ann Andrews, along with UFO researcher and author Jean Ritchie, I don't know if it's Jean or Jean, came to the conclusion that Jason was an indigo child, and this was the reason that the aliens had an interest in him. Jason himself, now in his 30s, states that he does have certain psychic and spiritual abilities. Nikki Patillo, claims that her daughter, Maddie, is also an indigo child and has claimed several times to hear or claimed several times to her that her home is in the sky. Patillo claims Maddie has developed and shown otherworldly abilities, and she firmly believes that the girl carries alien DNA within her body. Patillo wrote a book about her experiences titled Children of the Stars, and stated that her daughter and many other alleged star children are the incarnation of spirits that have been sent to Earth from all over the universe for the benefit of the human race. Well, you know, I do believe there are some children that are gifted, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that's anything truly extraordinary, though, but I just think it's just there are some children that are way underdeveloped mentally, and there are some that are overdeveloped mentally, and perhaps born with, you know, a lot more light turned on naturally. And as far as that's concerned, I think if you think about it, we are kind of hybrids in a sense, you know, in that, or at least we are the survival of the fittest.
Right.
The fact that we're here now means that our ancestors, great, 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 you know, many times removed ancestors, were the ones that survived. So they were the strongest of our ancestors, and they survived to create progeny to continue on and continue on. So in a sense, we are these, you know, well, we could be considered these best of the best kind of things. And certainly there is a genetic diversity in any organism. I mean, that's why you have albino things pop up every once in a while. And that's why you have these other oddities like birth defects and stuff. Those are genetic anomaly. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, it would be great to think that there's always this super consciousness at work, whether it's alien or whether it's spiritual or whether it's some melding of the two. But I think that, you know, everything can't be, you know, all of these claims can't be right, in my opinion. You know what I mean? It's just, There's such a variety, though. No, they're trying to take over the world. No, they're helping the world. No, they just sent their souls here. No, they sent these, they've abducted people and created new people. And there's so many different ideas at work in this whole chain of stories. And again, I don't mean to judge or eliminate any possibilities. I really don't. But just my perception of what I'm hearing here on the show today, it's like, well, can they all be right? Mm-hmm. Is that possible? Because there is every part of the spectrum has been covered in these stories, and I still have more to go. But you know what I mean, Don? Is this making sense?
Yeah, you know it does. You know, and I've always had the idea or the thought or consideration, whatever you want to call that, of autistic children being lower functioning, nonverbal, mm-hmm. Could possibly be, you know, in contact with some higher mm-hmm. something, whether you call it a higher being or, you know, aliens or whatever that is. I think they all qualify as higher beings.
Sure.
And that is to include an idea of God as well, if that's, you know, your sure. particular line of faith. You know, and that they are that way because they can't articulate what's being downloaded mm-hmm. and they have this, stoppage, this spot where they can't articulate beyond.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I just, read something here. Let's see. Yes. From some abductee reports, they can assume that aliens are unaware that their creations, the alien hybrids, alien-human hybrids, may also be autistic. An abductee reported that when she was taken aboard an alien spacecraft, she remembers seeing an alien hybrid, alien-human hybrid, flapping his hands just as her autistic son does.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think it could go either way. You could have what is termed a starseed that's highly intelligent and very articulate. Mm-hmm. And yet maybe through genetic manipulation via alien intervention, they either make them really highly intelligent or they make them to the point where they can't articulate. Something goes wrong and they can't articulate and they possibly manifests as autism. It's an idea. It's just oscillation.
Right. And, you know, it's as valid as any other that's going on here.
Well, yeah. And it shows the contrast, you know, mm-hmm. the really successful, maybe shows the contrast between the really successful experiments and the ones that may have failed or didn't quite come out the way they expected.
No, you know, that's a possibility, you know, and yeah, I mean, the one thing that's for sure is that any idea on the table is just as valid as any others, that there's no right answers. There's no wrong answers. There's just ideas.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I don't know though.
Yeah.
But let me, I just got a few more here. So let me get through these. So this one is in January 2016, a story circulated, the internet regarding two young ladies who claimed that they were mothers to multiple alien hybrid children. Bridget Nielsen from Sedona and Aluna Verse from Los Angeles both claimed to be just two of many women who were part of the hybridization program. Bridget claims to have 10 alien hybrid children, while Aluna says that she has 3 otherworldly offspring, and they claim that at the moment their children are in the state of suspended childhood and live with their fathers on board huge spaceships. They hope that one day they can set up a community somewhere far from the city for themselves and other mothers of hybrid children. This, they believe, will allow their cosmic children to feel safe enough to visit them on Earth. The aim of the hybridization program, according to Bridget, is to create a super being with the best of the genes from humans and aliens alike. Bridget claims to be in regular contact with all 10 of her children and says that hundreds of women around the world are mothers to hybrid children, but simply don't realize it. Huh. Well, there you go. And those are interesting stories. We've certainly covered some of those on the show where women are pregnant, then they're not pregnant, you know, and right. the oddities that surround that phenomena, that it seems as if someone is, you know, impregnating women and then removing the fetus somehow and taking it somewhere. I don't know, but it does come up.
Yeah. And that's kind of a scary idea because, you know, you are pregnant, you know, and the doctors say, oh, yeah, things are going great. You know, mm-hmm. You should be, you know, due this date. And then, you know, something happens before that date.
Right.
And you're no longer pregnant. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened? There's no sign of a pregnancy. And in a lot of these cases, there's no sign of a pregnancy. But there is a whole medical background saying that you were pregnant for X amount of time. That's kind of a scary, I think that's a very scary thought.
It really is. That's got to be terrifying. And what a violation, you know?
Yes, just, definitely.
Just like somebody is taking absolute liberty with your body.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. But let's get to the next one. I got three more of them. David Jacobs taught American history for about 30 years at Temple University. He also recently made the claim that aliens had likely been abducting human beings for centuries in order to create alien-human hybrids who not only walk among us right now, but are poised to take over the world. Jacobs is now the director of International Center for Abduction Research and has conducted interviews and studies of over 150 abductees. He also has released several well-written and well-received books to make his argument to the wider public, all of which have been published by respected publishers. He states that abductees, albeit under hypnosis, more often than not recall the exact same obscure details. They all speak of either human-like or insect-like aliens that appear to have a need to breed. Many female abductees frequently speak of being impregnated before having the fetus removed surgically and then being forced to nurse the infant. He also reports that at the time of the alleged abductions, the person is usually genuinely physically missing, with many loved ones reporting the person missing before they suddenly reappear again. Jacob said recently that his work will either be an interesting but non-essential footnote, or that it will prove to be the most important thing that's ever happened to humankind. He says that he suspects that the aliens' actions are for the benefit and not for ours. Or for their benefit, yeah. Wow. There you go again. Another take.
Wow. yeah, wow. Nothing to say there. Well, nothing.
let me go to the next one here. I just got two of them left. Alien abductee and UFO researcher James Bartley recently made available online an interview he had conducted with a fellow abductee who had been sent to him by experienced researcher Barbara Bartholik. In the transcript, the abductee is referred to as PR to protect his identity. PR told of his close-up experience with alien-human hybrids, who he said are a creation of the reptilians. Their main goal was to harvest the life force from humans. Following the interview with PR, Bartley concluded that there are three types of alien hybrids on Earth. There are alien abductees who have had their genetic makeup altered by their abductors. There are half-gray, half-human alien hybrids that are, according to Bartley, mostly present during abductions. And then there are the hybrids that appear for the most part as normal human beings. It is this last type of hybrids that the reptilians have placed in positions of power around the world. Coincidentally or not, this last claim of hybrids is very much in line with author David Icke, who has made similar claims of reptilian hybrid aliens for the last two decades.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then there's one more. And this is, after years of confusion that include being arrested as a defector during a tour of Vietnam when he went missing for 11 days, a broken first marriage, and discovering he was adopted, Eddie Page finally discovered the truth about his existence. He was the product of a top-secret government experiment to produce an alien hybrid. According to Page, his father was actually an alien from the Pleiades star system, and he even claims that his official military documents state that he is not of human origin. Page states that during 1953 to 1955, there were experiments carried out on U.S. citizens by aliens in exchange for providing alien technology to the U.S. government. He made the discoveries after he agreed to be hypnotically regressed. He recalled that the missing days he experienced in Vietnam were due to him being wounded on a mission he was on and consequently being taken by aliens and patched up before being returned to Earth, 800 kilometers or 500 miles away from where he should have been. The rest of his unit died, and he has no doubt he would have died also if it hadn't been for their intervention. Page further discovered that he was one of 32 clones who were part of the experiment, a total of 21 female clones and 11, including Page, male clones. According to his research, only 8 of those clones are still alive, of which he is the only male. Despite Page producing alleged medical records that he states shows his blood group as unidentified, as well as the fact that he has an extra vertebrae and rib, the vast majority of people are skeptical of his claims, to say the least. He has an extra vertebra, extra rib, unknown blood type. That's pretty compelling if that's all factual.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a lot. At least that one seems to have some substantive evidence to it.
You know, yeah, having extra, you know, pieces, you know, that are out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Now, that's, you know, that's not to say somebody, like, as you've mentioned, you know, a birth defect and they have, you know, an extra vertebrae or maybe, you know, a rib spur.
Right.
But, you know, not having both and certainly not, you know, in a large capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Well, I don't know. But that wraps up how much I've got to bring to the table. And there's a lot there. There's a lot of information there.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. I guess you got to kind of take it or leave it. But these are the claims that are out there and being made. Again, I would have to say they can't all be right. But can they all be wrong? That's the big question.
No. There's got to be a lot of truth. There's got to be a lot of truth and a lot of, you know, 50-50, you know, it's, sure, it's a toss up, you know, what can be proven, what can't be proven, but those things that can be proven, they need to be questioned, you know, as in line with this gentleman that's got an extra rib and an extra vertebrae.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you have the stuff that can't be proven. Are we just going to accept it as alien interference or a higher power, you know, something like that?
Right.
Or are we just going to accept it as a human anomaly that, you know, happens because of a defect or maybe not a defect, but a more of a perfected idea of a human, mm-hmm, you know, maybe evolution, who knows?
Right.
So, you know, you can't disqualify all of them. You can't include all of them. So
good points. Absolutely. I'm in agreement with you. It's very peculiar. So I don't know. I mean, that's about all I got for tonight, Don. What do you got? Anything?
Well, you know, I found this interesting thing about alien capabilities and incapabilities. And it's just kind of a list of some things that some people have made statements on, whether it be factual information or, you know, just, you know, fodder.
Sure.
I make no claims. But some of the things that are listed here is under the heading telepathic. They can completely control the short-term memory. They can physically travel neural pathways to collect memories and project images into memory and consciousness. Create a benevolent impression despite inflicting pain. Stop people from using a gun or other weapons. Aliens have real telepathic skill in blocking humans from shooting. Read minds from 100 miles distance, and mentally force humans to do things they don't want to do. Now, that seems like a lot of interference, and whether it be good or bad, you know, I mean, reading minds from 100 miles distance, that's kind of intrusive, and mentally forcing people to do things they don't want to do. You know, if it was to prevent an accident, I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then it also lends the idea that they can also make you do things you wouldn't morally do in the first place, like shooting someone. However, it says that they can stop people from using guns or other weapons. So, okay, that's great. And they can block, they can use telepathy to block humans from shooting. But of course, the last one says to do things they don't want to do. So that disqualifies the first one.
Yeah.
You know, what's your point? Basically, right. It's saying they can make you do things you don't want to do, period. And right. They can make you do things that would benefit you. Kind of a scary thought.
It is. And there's no question if they are as advanced as we believe they are, and they could be thousands or millions of years advanced of us. It stands to reason they would be able to use more of their brain and more of what comes with that. And we all, there's a lot of assumption that being able to use more of our brain would include things like they're discussing. If we had complete access to our brains,
I
believe we'd be doing phenomenal things, probably just, you know, making things move all over the place with just thinking about it, et cetera, including telepathy and other such skills. But I don't know. It's really interesting. It's really wild. I remember before the show, you were mentioning that article, and it sounds interesting, but you just got to wonder, where did they get that from?
Yeah.
Where are they gleaning this information from? It's very, very peculiar, but again, it's part of the discussion, so it certainly belongs on the show. But
well, and they say they can physically travel neural pathways to collect memories and project images into the memory and consciousness. So that's the psychic blocking, you know, that people, well, if you're psychically blocked, I guess you wouldn't remember the incident. But right. That also means that they cannot put it in.
Right.
And for you would remember it. So mm-hmm. We go back to the story of the fourth kind, the owls, and then the people remembering.
Right. Yep.
Despite that particular projection or image.
Very true.
Alien incapabilities, things aliens can't do. From some abductee reports, we can assume that aliens are unaware that their creation, the alien-human hybrid, I've already read this about being autistic. So I talked about, you know, when we were talking about starseed children. Let's skip that one.
Okay.
Since aliens don't eat as humans do, but absorb food through their skin like a jellyfish, they do not understand cooking. An alien abductee reported that alien hybrid asked him to explain cooking utensils such as a spatula and ladle are used. This question may have been raised in their planned attempt to integrate into human society. They cannot read our written language routinely. However, transgenics or hybrids integrated into human society can speak, read, and write incompletely. It says they require a device to translate our language into telepathy. They cannot understand our language outright when they cannot read our minds. Interesting.
Right.
They don't communicate by television, internet, telephone, or radio. They do not use radio and cannot understand radio transmissions. They can read our minds, but they don't understand our language when it's broadcast. So, okay, that brings up the question about Voyager, the two Voyager satellites back in the 70s.
Sure.
So people are saying, there have been reports that aliens had encountered the Voyager satellites and that's how they got here. And there's also people saying because of them, we're having these horrible interactions with them. But this just totally eradicates the idea that they can even understand it.
Sure.
Without a organic brain to use as the vehicle for understanding.
Yeah. Again, there's such definitive claims being made by this page that you're citing from.
And yeah.
To me, that's, I don't know. I don't know how anybody could know these things. So I'm kind of personally taking it with a grain of salt, but
Yeah, definitely.
It is interesting that somebody had compiled all of this alleged information, but it's not the sole territory of ufology, of course. There's claims like this being made in pretty much every paranormal branch.
Right.
People making absolute claims like they have firsthand knowledge, and they don't. But
well, you know, I find that in a lot of the scientific ideals, like you have starseeds, you have autism, you know, two very different things that seem related to me. Mm-hmm. But it seems like one person or one set of investigators or ologists, they always go towards being experts on one subject, and then the others go the other way. You've always got the duality, and they're all experts in their field.
Yeah.
But my definition of an expert is somebody who knows more and more about less and less until they know absolutely everything about absolutely nothing, because their information doesn't go beyond just that one thing.
Yeah.
They have no concept of the other thing.
Sure.
So yep. They're too far to one side.
It's
so,
very isolating. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the last one here I'm going to read is, alien spacecraft are vulnerable to electrical storms. It's possible that they are not designed to withstand lightning. Hmm. The alien spacecraft may have been disabled in a fierce electrical storm at Roswell. Electrical storms did occur about the time of the estimated crash. It says current NASA video from the space shuttle show alien spacecrafts entering into electrical storms. The aliens are possibly studying electrical storms and have redesigned their spacecraft to withstand them.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I've wondered that too, you know, what, but you would think that, I would think that an advanced race would know how to shield against.
Yeah. They'd know how to ground themselves or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They would know how to diffuse that energy or even make use of it.
Faraday cage it or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Great information.
That's what I got.
All right. Well, I appreciate what you got, and I hope you all appreciated the show. It's been always our pleasure to bring it to you. And remember, again, please follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. Any announcements or information regarding the show will be posted there. So keeps you up to date. Make sure to head over to YouTube if you want to see Don and I doing the portal and making the magic that we make. that is the portal. You can certainly head over there. It's youtube.com/paranormalportal. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter is @paranormalPORTL, all one word. So we're out there. And Don, anything in closing?
Yes. The quick reminder, if you have thoughts or ideas or information on any of the subjects that we've covered tonight, certainly email us at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. And also, if you want, you can help support us by going to teesprings.com/stores, STORES, /paranormal-portal, and check out the gear we've got available for you there.
Absolutely. We love providing some gears, and it could be the sexiest shirt you ever own. I'm just saying.
Could be. What are you talking about?
Or the coolest mug ever. You know, there's lots of different things there to look at. So definitely check it out, ladies and gentlemen. But that's going to wrap it up for us here tonight or today or whenever you're listening to it. This is the end of the episode is what I guess I should say. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. All right, guys, we love you all. Thank you for being a part of our show and a part of the family. And if you like the Paranormal Portal and you're enjoying the shows, head over to iTunes and leave us a great review. That'll help iTunes to continue to promote the portal to more and more listeners. And it will certainly help us a bunch, and we'd be very appreciative. So thank you all. Have a great night.
Good night.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.